Sup guys, it's Jamal Pogues. You're walking the oh damn it. Sup guys, it's Jamal Pogues. What's up guys? It's Jamal Pogues. You're watching the Marcus Deegan Show.
The Marcus Deegan Show.
Oh, beautiful. What's the story, guys? Welcome to another episode of the pod. I'm your host, Marcus Deegan, shooting from Sin City, Las Vegas, the place of bright lights and world title fights. Thank you very much for joining back on my channel. I hope you're enjoying the content. Today's episode is proudly brought to you by Muse Psychedelic Infused Products. Now, guys, if you want to open your eyes to a more vivid life, Muse Life. Now, look, they got them in chocolates and they got them in capsules. They even got them in these little chews. Open your eyes to more colorful if you want to be more focused, if you want to be happy. It's not about tripping. It's not about getting high. It's not about taking drugs. It's about changing your consciousness. I'm loving it. Muse, all of the details are going to be in the description. Today, we got a big heavyweight on the program, 265 pounds, 6'3", and that means one thing. I could do absolutely nothing against this man except bring him his coffee. Would you welcome to the podcast, the Stormtrooper, Jamal Pogues. What's up, brother?
What's up, man?
I'm good, man. You're comfortable in there. This kind of set looks like a 10-year-old boy's bedroom with all the toys, right?
Yeah, I love it.
Where did the name the Stormtrooper come from?
Okay, it's crazy. I'm going to tell you this story, all right? So I was 17. I switched gyms to Joe Daddy Stevenson's. So my old coach talking trash. You know, he got guys who can beat me up, all this stuff. You know, I'm young. I'm aggressive. You know, I'm from the hood, you know. So I called him out. I called my coach out to a fight. You know, I went to his gym. I went in the middle of the practice and was like, yo, what's up, man? You've been talking all this shit for a year. What's up? Let's fight. And then obviously we didn't fight, you know. But then
it was,
I come back a couple of days later. You know, everybody sat down and like, bro, you can't do this. You know, you can't act like that. And then they're like, you know what? Your name's a Stormtrooper because that's you just fucking shit up, man. And then kind of did that in my career, you know, just kind of beat people and put myself in a position, you know, everyone was against me, so I just been stormtrooping.
Mate, I decked the place out with Stormtrooper helmets today because obviously I'm a massive Star Wars fan and the Stormtroopers were aesthetically what I wanted to be when I was a kid. So when I found out that your call name, nickname, what was just a fight name, stage name?
Yeah.
Thought we'd deck it out. Well, thanks for coming into the show, man. Do you do many podcasts?
I don't, because it's just... I don't know. It's just weird, you know, because it's like a lot of people are too political, a lot of people too emotional. You know, I feel like if I have to do it, I should be able to just express myself so people can get to know me better, you know?
Yeah, and that's the whole point of these podcasts is to like take it off mainstream ESPN or Fox News or whatever and to be put in an environment where we can talk about stuff like that. I don't kind of go down the political route because I'm from Australia, so even though I've been here for 22 years, I'm still not a citizen yet, even though I think the country's completely fucked up at the moment. I don't really like to talk about it too much because I don't think I have... I don't really have the right now. I don't think.
I mean, 20 years.
Yeah.
You know, I just think it's more like, you know, I don't mind hearing your side. You know what I mean? But if I hear your side, you got to hear my side, and we shouldn't have to call each other names. You know, or say anything, get mad or frustrated. It's just like everyone has different beliefs. We have different upbringings, so we have different, you know, views of seeing things. So that's why I think.
No, I agree with you, but it's just funny how it divides the country. It's another thing that divides the country is politics, man. Mm-hmm. Even though everyone just wants what I believe is, you know, the best for their country, but yet two opposite sides are just like polar opposites. It's just unbelievable.
Yeah, everybody either too much one side or too much in the other. I've always tried to pride myself being in the middle to understand both sides. You know, also I still have my opinions, but I try to understand everyone's opinion. That's just me as a person.
Yeah.
But then everyone's so one-sided where it's just like, you know what? I'd just rather not just talk to anybody and just do my own thing.
Have you always been kind of an outspoken guy?
Always. I didn't. I think I was always shy, timid.
Even at that size?
Yeah, lack confidence, you know. I just think over time, you know, you just kind of get tired of not being heard, you know, and then you just speak up.
You were probably one of those kids that was that big in the eighth grade, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So you probably got bullied a little bit.
I did get bullied. I got bullied. I was always like shy. Like, it's weird to say that I always fought bullies, but I was always like that kid that tried to be alone, be by itself. You know, even when I was growing up, I played with toys by myself. I didn't want to play with my cousins. You know, always more reserved, but then everyone come bother me. You know, and then that's kind of how I always end up fighting.
People wouldn't think that big guys get bullied, but you would be targeted because you were probably completely different from all the other kids as far as how big you were.
Yeah, being big, you know, trouble. I had problems with weight issues as a kid. You know, obviously they make fun of you for being big and being fat, and then, you know, that led on to, you know, junior high eventually, and then, you know, a little bit into high school until, like, I guess all the girls started to like me. You know what I mean? But then
they wanted some of that BBC.
Yeah, yeah, it was over after that. Yeah. You know, it was over after that, you know? Yeah, yeah. I didn't do anything in high school. I'm sorry.
When did you realize that you were not, I mean, because you've probably always been able to fuck people up, but when did you realize that you were actually really good at it and could put it into something that you could make money out of? Like, when did that journey begin?
You know what? Honestly, it was when I moved out here to Vegas. Sounds crazy. I know, I've been fighting before that. You know, I've been fighting before that. But I would say, you know, always, I loved it. I was never confident as I, you know, I should say, you know, as I should be, you know. And I think moving out here to Vegas and being alone and being in your own thoughts forced me to be just, you know, just do my thing. You know, just kind of, I kind of found myself out here. That's why I think me moving out here was a big decision, you know.
Did you have a wife or anything like that?
No,
so
no.
You just came out here on your own?
Moved out home.
And where did you come from?
I came from California, Victorville, you know, small city. I mean, it's getting bigger now, but, you know, like, very poor city in a sense, you know. Just, it's not much to do, you know. Either you do sports, we have a state prison, so you go to jail, you're in the streets, you know. It's not as much work, gym, or prison, you know. That's the only thing you do in that city.
So how did you not go down the prison and gang and criminal way of life? What steered you from that?
I did a little bit, you know.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, you know, I had friends, and, you know, get to a point where I was just mad at life, and then, you know, hung out with the wrong people, did a lot of bad things, but a
lot of drugs?
No, not so much drugs. You know, I was like, you know, I watched my family do a lot of drugs, you know, so it was just kind of like, I kind of stayed away from
it. Skipped that, it skipped you.
Yeah, it skipped me, you know, so I seen what it done to my family, my cousins, you know, and then, you know, even a lot of alcohol too, you know, like I grew up like my dad, you know, being abusive, you know, alcoholic and stuff like that, so.
To you?
Yeah, to me, you know, growing up, I think that's probably why I didn't have a lot of confidence, you know what I mean? Like my dad always broke me down, you know, so.
Can he still do that?
No. You know, but we're good. We're good. That's one thing. Me and my dad's good.
You're good now?
Yeah, man.
Only since moving out here? Because that seems like a short amount of time.
No, I think it was, you know, we had some altercations in the past. And then,
physical?
Yeah, a little physical. You know?
Really?
And then it just kind of like, you know, I think it realized I was my way of finally, like, just kind of stepping out of my own shell, you know? So I just think after that, I was just kind of like, it took me a long time to find myself. You know what I mean? Find my confidence, who I was as a person. What I like to do, I've been steered in so many directions, been shut down, that's stupid, that's lame, you know, you're dumb as hell. Had all that growing up. So now I'm like, I get to be me, you know? So when people see me now being a kid, I'm like, yo, I didn't get to be a kid when I was younger, you know? So now I get to be a big kid, and I'm in the UFC, but I still want to be a kid now, you know?
How old are you?
28.
Yeah, I was going to say, you're still not even 30 yet. Yeah, we were just talking before about age and, you know, having a young spirit. Like, I was telling the guys, like, I'm 54 this year, but I don't physically feel it because I don't even feel that age. It's even hard for me to say, fuck, I'm 54. What?
Yeah.
I'm 30.
Yeah.
Because I have that young spirit. So you seem that, when you say you didn't really, you couldn't really be a kid, is it because of your environment?
Yeah, my environment. You know, everything is shut down. It's dumb. It's stupid. You know, like I said, when you have big dreams in a small city and around, like, I ain't gonna say, you know, disrespect small-minded people, you know, everybody shut it down and you start to believe them, you know? So I think getting away, or not so much getting away, I think me actually taking those chances and doing those things, and everybody kind of caught on. But then I started to find me, you know, and I was like, all the stuff now that people say was stupid that I was doing, they think it's funny now.
Are your parents still together?
Parents are together, yeah. You know, I just think it's cool.
I've seen them in the audience at the Apex.
Yeah.
And your mum looked pretty emotional.
Yeah.
You sounded very emotional after that fight. You fucked your hand up too, I believe.
Broke my hand, still got the little, you know, little.
Oh, did you have to get surgery on that?
I had to get surgery.
Is that your first surgery as a mixed martial artist?
Ever.
Ever in your life?
Ever in my life.
Is that your dominant hand?
Yeah, my right hand, yeah. It was just kind of,
How's the mindset when you get something like that? Do you think, fuck, it's over now, I'm never going to be able to hit that hard? Or
it's a long process. It's longer than what people think it is.
Yeah.
Way longer than what people think it is.
Couple years?
No, it takes that 6, 7, 8 months, you know, to be 100% again.
Do you think it was slightly damaged over years and years and years of constant pounding, getting those hairline fractures, and then it just broke with that overhand right?
Bad punch, right on the forehead.
A bad punch.
Right on the forehead. Just right on the forehead, broke my hand. And I ain't going to lie to you, part of me quit.
You know?
Yeah, because I was like, I had like
during the fight.
Yeah, I quit mentally a little bit. You know, I had that. Oh, it was one round. You know, and then I was fighting him, and he was grabbing my hand, and I was taking him down, but I couldn't really punch with his hand. He was, you know, it was just one of those things where it was just like, I could quit right now. I was like, no, we're not going to quit. No, we got to figure a way, you know. So you always have those back and forth emotions, you know.
Yeah, that's why, you know, I always revert back to this when I talk to you guys about how strong your mindset has to be in this game. Like, you can be a big cunt, fucking 265, 6 foot three, but if you don't have the mental capability to be in the UFC, the biggest promotion in the world, you're not going to get very far, right?
No, you got to be tough, you know. And, you know, it's this thing I tell people, fake it till you make it. But the thing about this fighting thing is you can't fake it for too long.
You can't.
You can't fake it for too long. You know, eventually, it's, especially at this high level, you know, everyone's trying to get paid. Everyone wants to be the next guy. Everyone wants to, you know.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like, you know, deal with your problems before you get to the UFC. Do not deal with whatever emotional problems you have, you know, because once you get here, you know, there's no stopping. They go.
What were the other promotions that you performed in before you got to the UFC that were on a higher level?
Bellator. You know, I have one fight on the Bellator. I fought King of the Cage.
King of the Cage.
I fought LFA. You know,
they're all good ones.
Yeah, a lot of good ones. I fought C3 Fights, was a big show, like in Oklahoma. You know, I fought a lot of guys out of there in their hometowns. That's kind of like how my career kind of was based off of, was fighting everybody in their hometowns.
And beating them.
Beating them, yeah. You know, it's tough. You know, it's not, for me, I had nothing to lose. So to me, I didn't really care about fighting people in their hometown.
Sounds a little bit like Sean Strickland. He doesn't really have anything to lose. No. Well, maybe he does now.
Yeah.
But you're over at Syndicate, right?
Mm-hmm.
But you're with Iridium and Jason House.
Yeah.
How great's that management company?
You know, it was easy. You know, it was easy when I first signed with them. You know, I think Lance, you know, was in the gym. He was just like, "Hey, you're Jamal." And I was like, "Yeah." He was like, "What happened to you?" And I was like, "I don't know. I just life."
you know?
Been out the fight game for almost a year and a half. You know, no one knew where I was, and then. You know,
so where did he see you, Lance?
At Syndicate. You know, I signed up at Syndicate, and then he knew who I was, remembered me, because I was one of the top prospects, you know, before I stopped
fighting. Because of the Contender Series?
Yeah, Contender Series and all that stuff. And then, you know, he was just like, "Hey, you want to fight again?" I was like, "No."
You weren't interested in fighting again?
No, man, I wanted to. I was like, "No, I'm good."
So you were just at the gym just getting fit?
Just trying to get back.
Training?
Just coming back, you know. I've been out the fight game for a year and a half, just coming back, and then... You know, he was like, I started training, started kind of falling in love with it again in the process, helping everyone else out. And then he said, "How about if I get you a fight in the UFC? And I was like, "If you give me a fight in the UFC, I'll be back." And then, like, I think maybe I was training for 2 months, 3 months at the time. And then he said, "Got you 4 weeks, Contender Series, let's go." And I was like, "All right, let's do it." Like, let's do it. I'll take it.
And is that where things kind of changed, you reckon, for you?
Yeah. Once I won the fight, I was just more like, "Oh, I'm in the..." It, like, you know, just hit me hard. You know, I realized that once Dana said I was in the UFC, it's kind of like, it was a dream. Like, I was like, I'm really here this time? Like, you said, yeah? Like, I've been chasing a dream for so long and had so many shut doors, you know, you kind of give up on the dream.
Yeah, you do.
You know, I had probably 3-4 opportunities that were shut down on me. So
that were promised to you and that were, "Hey, this is going to happen, brother, 100%. I got you back. You're going to make this amount. Sorry, brother, it's not going to happen." Yeah, I feel you, bro. It's happened to me too, buddy.
So it's like, I'm done. I'm done with this sport. I was like, I'll figure out what I'll do next. And then after that, I kind of, you know, came back. You know, he kind of gave me that spark again for the sport, made me love it again, you know, remind me of that kid that once started this sport.
Do you think you love it more now than when you previously first started?
I think I appreciate it more.
You appreciate it more.
Because I remember being away, and this was the only thing I thought about, you know. Even though I didn't want to come back, it was guys that I beat that were in the UFC. It was guys that I beat that were like in PFL, guys that I beat that was in Bellator making, you know, 100,000, 200,000. And, you know, this guy's top 10, this guy's this. And I'm like, dude, I killed that guy. Like, like, I also beat that dude up in training one day. Or I sparred that guy a couple years ago and I beat the shit out of him. And like, oh shit, okay. Like,
so you'd already manifested it then. It was just a matter of time, really.
I knew I was going to come back. I just didn't know how. You know, you always make a plan, but it doesn't go that way. You know, my plan was just, let's get in shape, and whatever happens, you know, maybe end of the year we get a fight. But end up being 4 months.
Yeah.
It was, you know, I was thinking, let me train for six, you know, like 6 months, and then, you know, have a training camp for 3 months, and then, you know, fight end of the year. No, it just happened in like 4 months, and it was like, yep, go fight. And I was like, I guess I'm doing it.
Who do you, like, look up to in the industry as far as, like, who do you kind of, I don't want to say, you know, mark your career like, but is there certain people in the industry that you like?
You know, I always watch guys. I'm a big fan, man. Like, when I look at the new guys, even old school guys, I think of, like, let's say Jose Aldo. Jose Aldo is my number one of all time. I loved his just aggressiveness, his leg kicks. You know, I was one. You know, I just loved the way he did it, you know. And when it came to wrestling, it was Matt Hughes. You know, Matt Hughes was the guy who introduced me to the sport, you know. And
God bless him.
You know, that was a guy I always looked up to, you know, growing up in the sport. Then, obviously, you had John Jones. you know, and then I got to be in Albuquerque for a bit, train out there, you know, with him when I was
younger. You trained with John Jones?
I was younger. I was like 19, 20. You know, I was out there for like, I think for like a month. You know, I got to be out there and train with him. So I think, and there's just a lot of guys that like over the years that like kind of, you know, I watch and I just kind of love their style, you know?
Is there anyone that's kind of like, that you've been like starstruck when you've seen like backstage of the UFC or up at the Performance Institute that you've gone, fuck, that's...
Okay, one time I seen DC, right?
Oh, yeah.
So it's actually my last fight. I see DC, and I talked to DC, and I was like, what's up, DC? What's up, bro? In the middle of the fight. My last fight, I just talked to DC, and DC's like, he's talking to me like I'm just a normal person. Like, you know, but like, I didn't realize what I did. I just like, yo, what's up, DC? You like this fight? Like, just talking to him in the middle of the fight, and then, you know, at the end of the fight, you know, I got to, you know, say what's up to him. But that was like one guy that kind of like, oh shit, like I'm in the UFC and I'm around these guys, you know? So
yeah,
it's crazy seeing me being around all these guys now. And
yeah, being around your heroes that you used to watch on TV or play on the game, and then all of a sudden you're fucking fighting
to them. You're just talking to them and they just talk to you like,
it's gonna be surreal, right?
It's crazy. It's a crazy moment.
It's like it's kind of like, have you seen that movie Rockstar with Mark Wahlberg?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And he's like, plays in a tribute band.
Yeah.
And then they pull him on as the lead singer in the real band from the tribute. It's kind of like that.
It's like you go in there and you talk to them, and then they talk to you as you're their peers, but you're like, I'm not on the same level as you.
Yeah.
Why am I? Well, you know, but they just talk to you just, you know, like you're normal. But I met, like, I knew guys along the way, like Cody Garbrandt, you know, I knew him for like many a year. So, you know, getting
looks
to
like he's on the way, on the up and up again.
Yeah, you know.
He'll be fighting on UFC 300.
I'm happy for him. You know, I'm happy for him
as well. He's a fucking gun back in the day. Like, Cody had a few ups and downs. You know, I don't know what went on with him personally. I think that maybe the breakup from his missus kind of affected him a little bit. But I've always had mad respect for that. He actually sent me a few t-shirts once.
Yeah, I love Cody. I think Cody's like a good person, you know, and knowing him for years, and I know the stigma he got, I was like, Cody's actually a good person. You know,
even he got a lot of hate, didn't he?
He got a lot of hate.
A lot.
But I didn't feel like he deserved it if you really knew him. You know what I mean? But,
right.
But, like, once again, like, my mom comes to the UFC, and this dude gives my mom love, you know, like, hey, you know, just so many people that I, like, grow up watching, I'm like, dang, like, I'm just talking to these guys on a normal basis.
Yeah. UFC fans MMA fans are pretty critical of the athletes, aren't they?
One loss, it's over. You're the worst thing in the world.
It can turn so quickly.
They hate you. They hate you.
I was talking about this the other day when Volk just lost to Ilya Topuria and he went home to Australia. Last time he went home, when he went home as a champion, the airport was just fucking packed full of people. This time he went home, it was just his girl and his baby. And
maybe a couple of friends.
And so what does that say? Does that say, in a sense, like, obviously, people can turn on the flick of a dime, but is it like that's all that really matters? Is what's here? Is my kid, my wife, or it's weird, right? Like,
no. So I've been through that. So it was just like, you know, when I had my debut, you know, I was 9-1 as an amateur. I was the youngest state champion out of California, you know, and I had my debut and I lost. You know, I had sponsors. You know, I had the girl. I had the, you know, obviously had a little bit of money in my pocket. You know, all the groupies, whatever you want to say. And then, you know, I remember losing, and then, like, sponsors don't hit you back up, you know, your girlfriend starts acting funny, you know, your so-called friends that you made, you know, and it was like, that put me through the worst depression for almost like 6 months, you know what I mean? And then it was just like, I just watched, it made me hate the sport, but it also motivated me because I was like, when I get here, oh, you guys are gonna hate me, like.
It's
lonely.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
It's one of the loneliest feelings in the world, you know, so if you do this sport, I think that's why I love the experience I had before getting into the UFC. You know, it was just like, I've been through this. I know what you're going through.
Mm.
Been there. I've been there before the UFC, you know? So I feel like that kind of gives me my little advantage over people. But I've seen it. You know, they change on you, the fans, your family, you know, everybody.
Everyone's, like you said, sponsors.
Sponsors change up. You know, they don't, you know, you're no longer talking to this person, or people think all of a sudden you just suck because, like, you lost one fight. Like, oh, yeah, you're trash. And you're like, I'm not trash. Like, you know, like,
yeah.
Okay.
I had an idea for like a reality show. Like, you get the biggest trolls on the internet that troll, not like Bully Beatdown, but kind of like, and you pick out the biggest trolls that have talked shit and they have to do the full camp with you to see if they can do it. And then I guarantee they would never say another word ever again. Just going through one training camp, just going through one session.
Yeah, let's do it every day. Let's do it every single day. You know, you're gonna.
So we got jiu-jitsu for 3 hours. We've got boxing tomorrow. We've got wrestling the next day.
We got strength and conditioning. We got
Yeah.
You know, we got to spar this guy. We're bringing in the guy to help you spar. Hey, we got to hit those Saturday runs. You know, it's like, that's the part people don't realize, you know. It's all our moment comes into 15 minutes. And sucks that, you know, that decides our future, you know, 15 minutes. But, you know, you see all the people talk so much trash, you know, and then you look at people. Now, that's why I hate the internet so much. And I'm just like, dude, I will literally slap the shit out of all you guys. Like,
but what do they do when they see you, bro?
No,
they want a fucking picture, right?
Yeah, they want a picture. I fought Oklahoma one time, right? I fought Kyle Noblet. He was 9-0. I was 3-1. And I go to his hometown, Oklahoma, and racist, you know. No, like, so I remember walking out. This dude was like, you nigger, you blah, blah, blah. I've killed this nigger, bro. You know, this dude's yelling. I'm watching him. And I was
white
like,
dude?
White dude just yelling at me. And I was like, oh, yeah. And I look over like, I'm going to kill you, bro. I was like, watch, I'm going to kill this dude so bad. And then, you know, you had Kyle. He was sitting at the gate barking at me before you walk in the cage. So the commission is not supposed to allow you to come over. You're supposed to sit in your corner. But they allow him to come to the gate. Hometown guy, obviously. I go in there. I beat the shit out of this dude. And at the end of the fight, you got to do a post, you know, the post-fight interviews and everything. Take, you know, sign pictures. The same dude that called me all those words, all those nasty words, asked for a signature. And I looked at him. I was like, nah, fuck you, bro. I was like, no. And he just went, oh, I was just trying to, you know, take you out your element. It's like, no, bro, you don't say that kind of shit to people.
Especially that word.
You know, you don't say that. Like,
especially that word.
I was like, oh, okay, cool. But it's funny. We had to hurry up and get out the arena, though. They were like, hey, no, we got to hurry up and get you out of here.
Is that
like,
right?
Yeah, they escorted me right out the arena with the security. They were just like, hey, hurry up, finish this post-fight interview. We got to walk you straight out to the car, go back to the hotel. And I was like, all right. Like,
What are we in, fucking 1920?
Yeah, that's what they told me. I remember. It was just like, all right, cool. You know, the bar lady, I remember, like, people didn't want to service inside the bar. And the owner of the bar, like, she came up to have food. She was like, she heard what they were saying, and she was like, you're fucking fired. Hey, you guys can eat here for free all week, you know, for fight week. Tell me, I just seen a lot of crazy stuff into the sport.
Yeah, who was I interviewing yesterday? Devin, was it yesterday or the day before? Devin Goodale? Okay. You know Devin?
Yeah, I heard of him. Oh, yeah.
He ripped that guy's finger off in the...
Mm-hmm.
So that's pretty crazy, a guy losing his finger in the octagon. What would you say is, like, one of the most bizarre fucking things you've seen in your whole fight career?
And like me fighting?
Yeah, like, or seeing like someone crap their pants or someone throw up or like.
Ooh, I seen a dude. Obviously, we talk about leg breaks. But I seen a dude kick somebody, knock him out, goes back down. His freaking ankle was just hanging. And it's just broken. And it was like, obviously, he got the win and knockout. But it was funny because he kicked, comes back, rolls over it, and you just see the thing just flipping. And you're just like, he got the knockout win, but like. His ankle was like split in half. I was just like, oh, yeah, that's probably the worst thing I've seen live. Personally, really? For me, I broke someone's arm with an arm bar. And I remember I pulled it out the socket and I was still shaking it because he wouldn't tap. And the ref didn't like see that.
Yeah, he was in a position where he couldn't see it.
But it came out the socket and I'm like wiggling it around so it don't go back in place. That's kind of like a thing you do. And like, the dude staring at me right in the face. Like, he didn't tap. He didn't shed a tear. He just stared at me the whole time, and the ref stopped. It was Mike Beltran. Mike Beltran stopped.
Oh, yeah.
And he just looked, and he was just, oh, stop, stop, stop. And the dude was like, why are you stopping? And then his arm was just like kind of like when you look at Jamal Hill and Paul Craig, kind of like that, like a little bit worse than that. But dude didn't make a sound, just like Jamal Hill didn't make a sound, didn't just, oh, yeah, my arm's, okay, cool.
Do people ever cry?
Yeah.
When you hit them, like cry from pain?
No, I had this dude punch me and kept giving me compliments. That was like weird. He was like, oh, yeah, that hurt. Good job. And I was like,
well, while you were hitting him?
Like, while I was hitting him. And I had my corner at the time. I was like, stop talking to him. And I was just like, thanks, bro. You know, hit him again. Yeah. Oh, shit, that hurt. Good job, man. Fuck, nice takedown. I was like, thanks, man. That was like one of the hardest, weirdest fights to ever fight, you know, because he was just so nice.
What's the rules on talking to your opponent, especially like even at the UFC level? Can you just go back and forth or has it got to be?
I mean,
is there?
They're trying to get you with. I ain't gonna say the UFC, but the sport itself, like the commission tries to tell you to be respectful. It's a sport, but it's kind of like I'm getting punched. You know, it's a lot of emotions, you know? So it's like, whatever I say, just excuse me, you know? Like, one of my fights, I think when I fought Brigger Gal, I was just talking shit to him. He speak only Portuguese, you know? And like, but it was just me talking shit the whole time. Like, yeah, motherfucker, like, this shit hurt, don't it? Huh? Huh? Yeah, you thought you were going to do this, but the whole time he don't even speak English.
Was he answering you though?
He's just like, like, but I was like, he knows I'm saying something, but, you know, it's just, they tell you not to do it, but it's kind of hard when you get, like.
Yeah, it would be.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
Plus, as fans, we love watching that.
I feel like you should. That's the beauty of the fighting. Like, you know, you want your fighter to, like, why not let it all out?
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
So it's just like, to me, trash talking is part of my game, you know, but I'm not like trash talking to you. I'm trash talking to myself. You know what I mean? Like, I'm like, yeah, motherfucker. Like, I bet you can't hit him again. Like, I talk shit to myself, and then I can see where people kind of get confused. Like,
yeah.
Like, is he talking to me? Like, oh, yeah. Oh, are you going to let him take you down again? Or are you going to let him take you down? Oh, you're a fucking pussy. Like,
and then you uppercut yourself.
Yeah, like, and then you just do stuff. You just be like, and then, like, people get always weird out. They be like, dude, you talk to yourself in the fight. And I'm like, I always do. I just talk to myself.
Hey, whatever works, and it seems to be working, right?
Yeah, I just talk to myself and have fun.
Where do you watch the UFC when you're not performing?
Just at home on the couch. You know, I don't go. I'm boring.
Do you get a code?
No, you got to pay for it.
You got it. Okay, that was yeah. a question I was going to ask. Do UFC athletes have to pay for?
Maybe if you're famous. Like, if you're more famous, you know, like.
If you're like Conor or someone like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, you know, like if Conor says, I want free fight pass, you kind of give him free fight pass. You know, you don't. The employees get it for free, but the athletes don't. I'm just saying. Like, I'm just
because, like I, as a fan, I've always thought that you guys must have some little code or something that you punch in and you get to watch the fights.
I got
for free.
The Disney Plus bundle with Hulu and freaking ESPN Plus, and that's how I watch the fight.
But you still got to pay for the fight with ESPN Plus.
Yeah, and you got to pay for the pay per view.
You got to pay for the pay per view. Yeah, well, actually, ESPN Plus has just gone up because I just renewed my membership, and it's up to like 100 and for the year, it's like 140 bucks or something.
Yeah,
now.
It's like almost 23, 24 bucks a month now. I mean, it's all right.
So let's talk about this weekend then real quick. Obviously, the three fights I don't want to talk about. Your man, Kevin Holland, obviously coming up against MVP,
mm-hmm.
who's just talented all day.
Yeah.
But I liked what Kevin said today during the press conference. He said, look, you guys know where the top athletes are. It's in the UFC. You don't pay to watch a Bellator UFC. You pay mm-hmm. to watch me. How do you think that fight's going to go? Do you think that Michael has a little bit of an edge, being that it's his debut, he's got something to prove,
mm-hmm.
he's fresh in the promotion? Mm-hmm. Do you think there's an advantage to that, or do you think that
it's tough, man? Because you know, like MVP is good. He's a beast. You know, you got to give him his credit, and it's right. You do see a lot of guys leave the UFC and they become champs. You know, but you never see guys come from other promotions and become champs in the UFC. You know, so
yeah, that's
you
true.
Know, you never see him. Never hasn't happened once. You know, so I got to give it to Kevin Holland, but MVP is still dangerous.
Yeah,
you know, he's still a dangerous guy. But if I'm Kevin Holland, I would hate the disrespect that I got, because all eyes is on MVP. You know, so if I'm him, that's your chance to steal the spotlight, like, and bring the fans back onto you. You know, so. I think if I'm Holland, I'm pissed off. I'm gonna do whatever I can to win, and then put the eyes right back on me. You know, get paid a little bit more, bigger contract. So it's a win-win on both sides. You know, if MVP wins, then
because they're both kung fu dudes too, right?
Yeah. So you know, if MVP wins, he goes right in the top of the conversation of the sport. If Holland wins, then it just shows, like,
solidifies where he's already at anyway. Yeah.
You know, then because it's gonna be more eyes, because MVP is a big draw. So. Why not?
Dustin Poirier might be coming to the end of his career. Do you think he'd be loot?
You don't think so? Hell no. Dustin Poirier is Dustin Poirier. He's the beast. I don't care what nobody say. Give me Dustin Poirier.
You can hold Dustin for a while now. Yeah, give me Dustin.
Yeah, give me Dustin, man. Look, I love Dustin. I love his story. I love how he is, how he fights. I just love that, you know, just how he is. So I'm a big fan of Dustin Poirier. And I still give it to him for this weekend.
I like Dustin's consistency mm-hmm. and how much he's improved over the years. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, he's been in the promotion for a long time now and
since
done like very well.
2013 or something like that.
Wow, has it been that long? Yeah. So, I mean, I'm going for him this weekend as well. So then, of course, you've got the Sugar Show and Chito Vera. They fought once before. Chito got the win. Chito likes to come in a little bit later in the game, whereas Sean likes to come out of the gate and just go bang hard.
Yeah.
What do you think is going to go for that one? Who are you going for?
I mean, you know, I just think right now is, you know, Sean O'Malley's found himself. You know what I mean? He has I'm not going to say he doesn't have the hype, but he does. But he has the mentality, the aura right now. He's a champ. You know, he's making all this money. So, for him, I think he realized how much he can gain, you know, like just
staying the champ.
Yeah, staying the champ and what he can grow off of. So I'm going to give it to Sean, you know. And I like Chito. I love his beliefs, his hardworking beliefs. And a guy who's not talented and who had to work for everything, I can account to that, you know. So
yep.
you know, I definitely give props there, you know. But if he can get it done, oh, man, Chito can change his life forever, you know. But if I had to go with Aura, Sean, you know, Sugar Sean, you know.
Sugar Sean.
He's going to do his thing, you know, for me personally, you know.
Yeah.
And I know
yeah.
he's under my my management group. And, you know, I try not to go against guys under my management group, you know. But, you know, Sean has a chance to, like, really make some serious money right now. So I say just go for it.
And another current mad story that came out today, your mate Jake Paul going up against one of the greatest of all time, but he's 57. What the fuck's going on? Who should Jake Paul fight to make a name for him? Make a, like, people think these fights are not setups, but
the paydays.
The payday,
the names, the, you know, I mean,
I don't get it 100%. I like the entertainment value and the eyes it brings, but why are you fighting Mike Tyson just to say, hey, I fucking knocked out Mike?
No, yeah, you know, if I'm Jake Paul, once again, I'm not Jake Paul. Never had his money, never had his popularity. So, but for him, he's doing the right thing in the sense of with his own promotion, making the money. So I give props to Jake Paul, you know. But if you want the seriousness of like people respecting you and stuff, Mike Tyson is definitely not the way to go. I'm not saying Mike Tyson's always going to be Mike Tyson, but he's almost 60, you know. But if I'm him, fight these, like, former world champs in boxing, you know what I mean? Like, the washed-up guys, you know. And I'm not going to put any names out there because I don't want anybody coming back at me. But, you know, fight these guys who are cruiserweight, former champs, you know, maybe they're on the 3-4 fight losing streak. They retire for 2-3 years. Mm. Bring them out of retirement and fight them, you know, so you can get some credibility. You know what I mean? You can build your way up. That's the way I would think he would do it, you know. So I have a few guys and names in my mind that I can see him doing at cruiserweight, but the way I just, come on now, leave Mike Tyson alone.
Yeah, I know the MMA community's pissed off because we want to keep Mike at a...
Mike's the GOAT, man.
You know what I mean? I love Mike Tyson. I've always loved Mike Tyson. Mike Tyson was one of the first, well, not one of the first, but, well, yeah, probably the first of my era big superstar of, you know, the late 80s when I was really first getting into watching boxing, and obviously his records dance for itself, but it'd be interesting to see how that goes. I mean, fuck, it's an exhibition, so it's not a real fight, right?
Yeah, but still, I don't want to see Mike Tyson
get hurt.
You know, it's like when you watch legends like that, you kind of like, you just want them to stay where they are. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, man. It's like fucking Motley Crue. Have you heard Vince Neil sing these days? Have you heard Bon Jovi sing these days?
You see the horrible. Voices are messed up and everything. And
horrible.
Like,
Madonna?
They can't really perform how they used to. And it's like, those are things that, like, plays a factor in a lot of things, you know? Like, I want to see these guys, like, when I see Mike Tyson, and I see, look, his weed business going crazy. I was just in Amsterdam. He has a fucking weed store out there. Like,
he's got his own Tyson weed store in Amsterdam.
Yeah, yeah.
Actual full
Tyson
store.
Tyson 2.0 coffee shop. It's, like, in Amsterdam, right in the center. Like, it's just things like that, you know, where it's like, this dude's making X amount a year. I know he's making almost $200-300 million a year. Dude, you don't need to take this fight.
Now, what were you doing in Amsterdam, Jamal?
Listen.
Because I've been there a couple times myself.
Listen, this is what I did. I
wake up with a Heineken and a Viagra, and I just hit that red light district.
No, I got scared, man. I ain't gonna lie. I punked out.
You did?
Yeah, I punked out.
Yeah, a bunch of my friends punked out.
I did. I was talking a lot of shit till I got there. You know, I was like, yeah, dude, I'm gonna do all this. And then I went to the first door, and she was like, 100 euros. And I said, okay. And I, like, ran. And I watched everybody else do it, and then I was kind of like, yeah, I'm just going to smoke this joint. But I punked out, I ain't going to lie. But Amsterdam was fun, though. It was fun to see it. I went to, like, the sex show.
Yeah, I didn't do that, but I had a lot of fun in the red light district.
Yeah, I didn't do it.
I made up for both of us.
One of my friends went to the blue light.
What's the blue light?
The transsexual.
No way.
Yeah, he did. I didn't realize what the blue light meant until, like, you know, like, I got back.
I didn't know there was a blue light district over there.
Well, it's red.
Is he?
It's a red light district, but then they have, so, you know how it's red through the windows?
Yeah.
Some windows are blue.
So that says that they're the transgender ones?
Yeah, but like one of my friends went.
And didn't realize that it was a transgender one?
Well, I mean, he stayed in there for a while, so he knew.
So he knew?
I didn't know what the blue light meant. I didn't find out.
Did he know what the blue light meant?
I think he probably did.
Maybe he's got that real little weird kink that gets, you know, you know when you're going down that
fucking. I look at him different now.
You look at him different now?
I mean, he's still my friend. But he kind of went to the blue light. Once I found out what the blue light meant, I was kind of like, yo, bro, I know what you did. And he just looked at me, and he didn't say nothing, so I didn't say nothing either. But I just kind of like, you're still my boy, but like.
Just do this when you see
it. Like, just know I got that one over you, man. Like, you know, you went to the blue light, bro.
Yeah, not something that really.
I don't care. You like what you like.
No, you can like what you like. I mean. But it's not my cup of tea.
Me either, but yeah. I know what the blue light means. So I was just like, ooh.
And well, thank God I know
I'm actually going there in a couple of weeks.
Really?
Yeah, not to the blue light, but you know, I'm going to Amsterdam. Yeah. I'm going to Amsterdam again.
Yeah, I like it there. One of the first times that I went to Amsterdam, I remember because it was the first time I'd smoked weed in public.
Oh,
it's a bit different now.
Yeah.
But I'm like, you're in a fucking restaurant or in a cafe or in a pub. And I just remember fucking just kind of standing in the corner. I'm like, I'm sucking on this joint. This big fucking black guy comes up to me, bald head, and goes, hey, brother, take your time. And I'm just like, he goes, you're in Amsterdam. Take your time. I'll never fucking forget it. I was so blown away by smoking pot in public.
Yeah, you see the 18-year-old kids doing it.
Yeah.
I was like, because I felt weird because, you know, California, it's legal to smoke. Public, Vegas is kind of the same thing, but you know, I go there, I'm just smoking weed, and then so I end up going to this bar called Lost in Amsterdam, and it was this Cuban Romanian girl, right? And like, she was just like, it's a 2-drink minimum, but you can take whatever you want. She's like, you can take shrooms or you know, smoke, just you have to buy 2 drinks. I remember going in there, and one of my friends ended up smashing that girl, and then later that day, we go back to Red Light District, she was in the window.
Of course she was.
Yeah, and I was like, oh, I mean, at least you got it for free. But yeah, I was just like, damn, shit, proud. Like, crazy things in Amsterdam.
Yeah, for those of you that haven't been to Amsterdam, if you're a real horny bastard, it's the place to go, right? It's like window shopping for pussy. It's unbelievable. And now I'm talking about these chicks aren't your average fucking downtown Las Vegas gap tooth crack whore.
No.
We're talking some supermodel looking kind of women here. We're talking European, Russian, Croatian, yeah. All those kind of tall, you BBLs. Know, those fucking, those European looking chicks that you see?
Yeah. BBLs, fake titties, all this stuff now. Like they got everything you need. Like
they got the BBLs now.
Yeah, they got the
Are you
BBLs
into BBLs?
Now. No, not really, but like, you know, no.
I watched a YouTube video. Yeah, this will make you fucking puke. So if anyone's eating right now, I'd suggest that you push the food aside. I was watching this YouTube video the other day on BBLs mm-hmm. and apparently they fucking reek.
Yeah.
Apparently they stink real bad.
I mean, you're taking stuff out your body and all the bile and everything, you're sticking it in your ass. It's kind of, I mean, you know, that shit is fucking, I just don't, it's like.
It just doesn't look aesthetically nice to me.
Some of them do.
Some of them
do. Some do, you know, but my thing is like how you walk around with a colonoscopy bag and then you can't sleep on your back, you got to sleep with your ass up, you know, like you got shot in the ass or something. You know, beauty in the process or however you want to say, you know, pain, beauty is pain.
Pain is beauty.
Yeah, you know, it's. You know, as long as I ain't got to pay for it and I can, like, you know, play with it from time to time.
And it doesn't have any fucking stank on
yeah,
it?
Yeah, I'm cool with it. You know, it's like just actually, I'm not going to buy it, but, you know, I'm definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know.
Well, I'm blessed. My wife has a beautiful, big, fat, natural Latina ass, so I'm happy with that.
Yeah,
that,
yeah. So you got lucky. You know, not everybody else is so lucky out here, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
If someone, they look bad. They're just big for no reason, you know, just big.
Especially, like, they got the stick legs
the
and then the
body.
Big fucking.
Yeah. What's the thing we call at home? We call it a cutoff booty. It's but they, it's where they got like, you'll see the thighs, you're like, oh, cool, they got the body, no stomach, and then you look in the back and it's just flat. It's called a cutoff booty. You know, you're just like, damn, bro, you just 42 faces.
The front butt.
Yeah, no, don't even have the front. Like, they just look nice and then they turn around and just like, it's like, damn, bro, you just made me waste a look. Fuck, man, I can't do this shit, you know?
Yeah.
At this point, you know, but it's.
But you don't have a girlfriend now, right?
I do have a girlfriend.
Oh, you do?
Yeah, I do have a girlfriend. I love my girlfriend. She's cool. You know, she's like, she got a nice body too. So, you know, it just.
You guys been together for a minute?
Yeah, you know, it's funny. We were talking about that today. Like, she was like, damn, we actually, like, about to hit a year. And I was just like, damn. I mean, obviously, a year's not long enough, but.
No, well, it is when you're first together.
Yeah.
That year mark is always a pivotal mark, always.
But like me, I'm just so, like, laid back and, like, you know, like. Just be like, oh,
you don't seem like the type of guy that gets really angry or pissed off.
No, I just lay back, man. Just like whatever happens, happens. You know.
Why is it always the little skinny fucking Irish guys that mouth off out the window, have road rage, and think they can beat everybody up? Why?
Listen.
See, this guy here can, but he doesn't.
You know what she tells me? She's like, you got to give me a reaction. You got to say more than 3 words. You know, most of them was like, I don't know. Cool. Mm. Like, I guess. Let's do it. I don't know. Cool.
Yeah.
She's like, you got to give me something else. I'm just like, I'm not getting nothing else out of me. You're like, I'm just laid back, you know? So. Now, you know, we were just talking about that today, and then, you know, she makes life easier. She's cool, so.
You got to have a good woman with you, bro.
No, that's one thing I realized.
Fucking
especially
out here.
I was fast. I ain't going to lie to you. I was doing a lot of crazy stuff, you know, and I think, and not like, but I think when I met her, I was just kind of like, damn, you're a dope-ass person. You know what I mean? I was just like...
It's got to be that
different
first.
Qualities. No, it was just like that different quality, you know? Yeah. Like, it was just like, you know, just like, even certain things, like, we don't argue at all, none of that. You can still say it's new, whatever, but it's like, we just talk, you know what I mean? Like, if you have a problem, just say it, you know what I mean? Don't yell, don't do this. Like, because I don't yell, so I'm just like, look, if you want to talk to me, don't yell.
She yelled?
No, it was just like one of those things.
Where she a sister?
Yeah, yeah. And it, that was, you know, but then it was just like, I think she was so, she wasn't used to like having someone else just kind of just talk, you know? So it kind of just, you know what I mean?
Evens out,
It's even out. Like she was so used to people yelling, like dudes yelling at her. I was so used to girls yelling at me. So we were just like, hey, look, we don't do no yelling.
Yeah.
And we're just going to talk, you know, we don't say nothing bad about each other. We just,
you can't change words. Can't, it's like you can't unring a bell. I've never called my, me and Jenny have been together this Christmas, this 11 years, and we, I've never called her a name. I've never told her to fuck off. I've never, ever, not once since we've been together have I ever called her a name or, and she's never called me a name either.
Yeah, I like that better, you know?
Yeah,
that's
way better.
Way better.
Less drama.
And, like, because I ain't gonna lie, like, I'm still young, so it's like, and plus, like, I like that hood rat shit, you know? I ain't gonna lie.
You like it?
Yeah, I like that hood rat shit.
So you like that Nicki Minaj?
No, I was like a black girl just telling me to shut the fuck up sometimes, you know what I mean?
And you
then, yeah, that shit, like, because it's like, it excites you. Like, then when she threatened you with her brother and shit, that shit just like, that shit cool as fuck if you ask me. Like, because then you like, yeah, because you know, it's just like, it gets all intense and shit, you know? Then you just be like, because I really don't care because I would never argue. And then they'd be like, yeah, my brother, fuck you up. I'm like, you know how this gonna go.
You
know,
bring him over.
Yeah, you know, but then like, you like that shit and you like the makeup sex and then you like the breaking up, the makeup sex. And then, you know, and then she's mad at you and then, you know, she texts another dude and he's like, fuck it, I'm out. And then she comes back, you the best head ever. You know, it's like all that shit. But now, but listen, listen. So then, well, look, this is going to sound bad because it's like, so then it was like, and then you'll be like, how do I got a girlfriend, right? So then it was like, I talked to this last girl, you know, it was kind of like, I did have feelings for her and it didn't work out, right? And I was just like, man, I got to stop leaving these fast-ass girls alone, man. I need to settle down, right? So I was focused on training. I didn't want no girl. You know, I had little booty calls here and there. And then I seen my girl, and I was like, yo, she's pretty as fuck. Like, just one of the prettiest girls I've ever seen in my life. And it was weird. Like, and I don't know movie type shit, but I was just like, damn, she's beautiful. I was like, I got to get to know her. Then I got to know her, and I was like, yo, you're a dope-ass person.
And made I was it like, even better.
Which made it even better, you know? So then it was just like, she'll tell me, you know, everybody talks good, but I was just watching how she does things day to day, you know? Like, she's making sure I was fed. Like, gives me, like, the, what do you call it? The little face-to-face treatments.
Facials.
Yeah, I was like.
Cut your toenails.
She would. I don't let her. I don't like people touching my feet. But
oh,
she
really?
Would, but she will.
My
she will.
Girl cuts mine.
Yeah, she will. Yeah. But then I was just like, yo, I never had this kind of treatment before. Nah. And then I think that's what kind of made me realize, like, got to leave this toxic shit alone, you
know?
And
do
then,
all the right things.
Yeah, do the right thing. And plus, I was like, man, I'm getting older. I'm almost 30. You know, I got to get my life together. And plus, I'm getting more famous and fighting, and I'm making more money. So I got to can't be out here, like, being distracted by a bunch of, like, girls, you know?
Yeah,
so,
a bunch of hood rats.
Yeah, a bunch of hood rats.
Threatening you with
their brothers. But I love it. Like, I used to love it, though. I like that toxic shit. Like, like Sexy Red, I would have took down Sexy Red, like, a couple years ago.
Really?
Yeah, Sukiyana, too. But, you know, I got me a nice girl. You know,
what's your genre of music that you listen to?
I'm R&B, dude.
You are?
I'm a lover boy.
So you would have been happy that Usher performed at the fucking Super Bowl?
That was, listen, I was singing all those songs at halftime.
I was fucking hanging mega shit and making fun that Usher was the headliner.
Really?
I feel a little bad now.
I just feel like if you grab my girl like that, I have to fight you. You know?
The fuck?
Yeah, dude, I'm not going to let you grab my girl like that. That's fucked up, man. Like, I don't give a fuck if it's performance. So you, man, keep your hands off her waist, you know? Like,
yeah.
Give her a side hug, you know, like when you don't like someone, like don't grab on my girl like that. I don't know. That's just me though.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember Connor got a little bit flirty with my girl once. Did McGregor.
He? You know, even with the Dustin Poirier thing, when he was like, your wife is in my
DM. Isn't Connor fucking funny, bro?
I like him. I like what he does.
I like what he does. Well, he's in New York at the moment doing some promo for the new Roadhouse movie.
Yeah.
That he's doing with Jake Gyllenhaal and Bob Menery.
Like, I'm happy for, like, Connor, when you hear his story of where he's at now. I think it's cool as hell.
I mean, only because fucking how, like, went from nothing to something to everything in literally this amount of time.
I'm saying, he's in a Call of Duty game. He was a character. Like, you know, he's in a movie.
He's got the whiskey.
He got the whiskey. You know, he got everything. Why not? I like it. Like, why not become something, you know?
Well, it only kind of brings more eyes to the sport and kind of makes it I don't know, makes it better for you guys, but
he elevated the sport for sure.
Yeah.
You know, we never seen the type of money he was getting paid until we seen him. So we realized, like, hey, Dana, you could pay us a little bit more because paid this motherfucker $20 million plus pay-per-view. Like, you know?
Yeah.
But like I said, it's guys like that who transcend the sport who makes it easier for the next generation. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so it's like you give props to guys like him. You know, I feel like he won't go down as the greatest UFC fighter of all time, but he will definitely go as an icon and a legend of the sport because how much he transcended. And he got people who didn't watch MMA watch MMA. You know what I mean? So you have to give that guy his credit where it's due.
So have you been to the Sphere? Or have you? Obviously, you've seen it from the outside.
Yeah, I've seen it.
So UFC 305, is it? Or 306 has been booked Mexican Independence Day for the Sphere, Las Vegas. Dana White said it's going to be the greatest sporting event of all time.
I was drunk last year for Noche fights. I was in the crowd drunk. Mexican fans.
I was there.
I was drunk as hell in the crowd.
Yeah.
I was getting high with Justin Gaethje in the crowd. And then Terrence McKinney was there. And then,
Terrence is a good kid.
We were getting high. We were drinking. It was a couple other guys, but it was just funny as hell.
Yeah.
I was just having fun with a bunch of, you know, just a bunch of freaking.
Do you know this fucking guy?
Let me see. Who? Freaking Mr. Jenkins.
Mr. Jenkins. What's up, buddy? No, you're not interrupting at all, my man. Fucking grab it. Grab one of those chairs and come sit over here.
Come on, bro.
What's up, bud?
Come on, bro. I mean, I'm scared of that cat, but come on. Yeah, not me. He ain't got no. Oh, shit. No, don't jump on me. Oh, shit.
He's the cat's friendly, too.
Oh, shit. It's the cat.
You're not a cat guy?
I mean, it's just he ain't got no hair.
Huh?
he doesn't have hair.
Oh, he's awesome, man. He's awesome. How are you, brother? Good, man. Good. Hey, buddy. Hey, bud.
Brennan goes around and puts stickers of him on people's shit. Like, he got pictures, like stickers, and just put them on random people's shit.
He does?
Yeah.
Like, what kind of stickers? Stickers of his cat?
Yeah, stickers of his cat. Just put it on people's
Do you
phones.
Really?
Yeah, just put it on people's phones and shit.
He's got a tattoo on everything.
I know.
Yeah.
I wouldn't even put my dogs, and I love my dogs.
Shave naked pussy. Yeah.
I don't, honestly, you know, that little bush is coming back because of women's rights and shit, so the bush is coming back. I'm just saying, you know, you can...
I don't mind a bit of bush, to be honest. I'm like, are you down for a bit of bush? Or do you like that...
Yeah, you got to...
You got a little bit of taking you back to the 70s?
You can have like a little landing strip, but it can't, you know, got to be like smooth. But like when it gets bushy...
It kind of keeps the stank in there, right?
Yeah, I don't like that. You know, fuck, man. I mean... I can't go down there and... Yeah, I can't. It's just... Oof.
Yeah. Joey, are you someone that likes to go down on big hairy pussies?
Not too hairy, but if they have some and they're confident with it, I like it.
But yeah. do you eat pussy? That's the question.
Come on.
Okay, I mean, some people don't, you know what I mean? Yeah. One of my boys don't. I don't even know how he keeps his wife. They've been married for so long.
He just doesn't like it?
No, he don't like it. But I feel like it's a certain woman, you know? I was like, I always joking. I was like, you must not love her because like...
Or there's something going on down there.
Yeah, no, you don't love her enough, you know what I mean?
Cause, yeah.
Because, you know, girls will go down there if it's smelly, you know, because they love you. You know, they won't trip. But I'm like, if you won't go down there...
Right after the gym.
I've done that a few times. Not like to my girl, but like I've done that to a bunch of hoes because I don't really respect them.
Yeah.
So like I just like
I'm not gonna wash this shit for a couple weeks. I need to build that right up.
For my girl, I'm washing, but for other people, nah. You're getting this dirty ass dick, and that's what you get. But I haven't done that because you know I'm in a relationship.
You're in a relationship.
But I'm just saying in the past, I've done it many a times, and it made me like disgusted with women because I'd be like, I know you smell this because I smell myself. You're a disgusting ass person.
Right? Yeah, I had a buddy that did that. He was on tour we were on tour in Canada, traveling around. He's like, I'm not gonna wash this thing for a week, and I guarantee you, I'll still get it sucked every night. And he did.
Yeah, like
she was growing on it. Yeah.
Yeah, dude, I've done it. Like, just right after wrestling practice, just like, you know, hit a girl up, I'm leaving practice. And this dude, she's like, you didn't take a shot? I'm like, no. She's like, whatever. And I'm like,
yeah, boy. Yeah.
But like, a part of me liked that shit. That's what I'm saying. But then the other part was like, you's a nasty ass bitch. Like, I can never see myself.
Or they just really like you a lot.
I don't want you to like me that much.
Yeah.
No, like, you got to have a little bit of self-respect. But that's what I'm saying, because like, that's why I'm in that in-between until I met my girl, because it was like, if you had no self-respect and, like, I can just let you out, I loved you. You know what I mean? But then I didn't really respect you.
This has been a great conversation here today. It was a little bit different than ours yesterday. We've gone down a few different lines, and it's been amazing. It's been amazing. So how do you know this guy anyway?
Syndicate, man. Yeah, we train the syndicate, man.
Yeah, we were talking about you yesterday. You said you're a good dude.
No, you know, Brandon's a super cool dude. I just feel like I'm the more quiet, reserved type. So I feel like he might think I don't like him sometimes. But really, I just be like, I just be focused. Like, I got to do this, this, this. And then he'll come talk to you. But you get mad because you're like, bro, focus on this. Mm. And he just, because he always has good energy. He's always positive. He's always happy. And then, like, I'm angry and black. You know, so then, like, it fucks up my day because I'll be trying to do something. He'd be like, hey, Jamal, we're going to do blah, blah, blah. And I'd be like, got you, Brandon. But, like, I'm not in the mode to do that right
I'm
now.
Cutting weight right now. We can't go to fucking In-N-Out Burger.
No. But.
Hey,
but
do you cut weight?
No.
You've never, ever cut weight?
I mean, at 205, I just can't.
What are you, 265? What do you walk around
at? I'm, like, 270 right now.
But you fight at 265,
Yeah.
What's the weight limit you can be?
265.
Nothing over?
No. Mm. Well, yeah, 66, like a pound. Yeah, you get a pound.
So you walk around. So you never. So that's got to be, like, an advantage because, I mean, I know the weight-cutting process for most fighters is a fucking killer. Is that an advantage?
I mean, I used to cut, like, 35 pounds to make 205.
Fuck.
Yeah, so I was, like, 240, go to 235, and I'm talking about eating clean, 235, and then cut my meals in half, get to, like, 220, and then cut the rest in water. You know, I always had a horrible cut, so when I came back, going to heavyweight was just fun. You know, I went a little bit overboard and started eating, like, a lot of shit because I couldn't really do it before. But,
yeah.
But you know, I mean, I still got to cut, like, 15, 20 pounds off of me, you know. But at the same time, I do like heavyweight more.
You smoke a lot of pot?
No, not really.
You like, munchie out when you smoke it, like burgers and cookies and shit like that?
No, you know, it's funny. I like taking an edible or smoking, but then, like, experiencing shit.
Mm.
You know, like, one time I was, like, chasing aliens, but, like.
You were chasing
them? Yeah, like.
You were probably on these.
Oh shit, I don't know. I smoked some wood. We went to this like a desert and like.
Oh, where you do the laser?
Yeah, we're just like doing.
Did it work?
Yeah, that shit. I was high as
hell. Oh, you saw some shit up there?
We saw some shit, but then like we were chasing it, and then I was like, and then like eventually like it just sped off, and then I was like, and then I like got scared and I ran back.
Yeah, I would fucking shit myself. Yeah, so you saw something up there, and then it.
Yeah, so we're just trying to, like, chase after it, you know? So.
There's a company here in Las Vegas that takes you out to a certain part of the devil. The guy's desert. The guy's name is Jim Greers, I believe, or Stephen Greers. He did that documentary, Undisclosed or something, and you go out there with these long pointed lasers, and after a while, you'll start seeing shit that goes to where the lasers are, and, yeah, it's freaky stuff. I can't believe this cat's like a dog. If my cat was in here, shit would be getting, it'd be running around in circles, tearing everything up.
That's what I'm saying. My dog won't even leave my side. I'm
what do like, you got?
I have a beagle and an Australian shepherd.
Oh, yeah. I got a French bulldog and a cockapoo.
Yeah, I feel like I couldn't get it like a nigga dog, you know? Like, I can't get like a pit bull.
Yeah.
I had to get like a beagle. Like, I'm already big and black with braids, you know? So, like, I feel like.
There's already a stigma against you anyway, right?
And
so you might as well go the whole, get the big gold chain around.
I got tattoos and everything. Yeah. So it's like, and I'm the only black dude in my neighborhood. So I think I had to like get something to make like white people not scared of me.
Yeah.
So when you walk around a beagle, you know, you're not really a threat.
Nah. Or one of those.
Oh, that one of those. Yeah. So I was like, I couldn't really.
He's
get a
awesome,
dog.
Man.
My dog name is Steve. Name a white name. Yeah. Name a white name. I got one. That's what I'm saying. Like, I just had to give him normal people names.
Oh, absolutely.
This is Chaz, right?
Chaz was my cat, yeah. Good memory.
See, that's what I'm saying.
What's his name? Cheeto.
But like the snack.
Not like Vera.
Yeah.
You don't like that? Yeah. So what's next, man? Like, what's coming up next?
I'm trying to get my fat ass in shape.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Got anything in the horizons?
No, man. You know, honestly, I really pride in these off seasons. Like, I really, like, focus on technique and, you know, things I want to grow on. Mm. Right now, I'm helping out Carl Williams, and he fights Justin Toffa the 23rd, you know, this month. And then I'm going to Belfast for Isaiah. He fights for PFL now. So right now, I've been kind of helping them get ready for their fights since they helped me. And then after that, I'm just going to drill stuff. You know, just go.
You've been to Ireland before?
No, first time.
Oh, you like it? The food's great over there.
Is it? Is it good?
Yeah,
I mean,
really
London food
good,
was disgusting.
People are lovely.
I know. That's what they told me. Everybody keeps saying I'm going to have red-headed black babies.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They love those big black guys over there.
That's what I'm saying. I don't know.
In Australia, too.
I think I should do what a lot of black parents do and come back on, you know, when they get drafted in soccer. you know, something like that.
Bro, I wish I had done a 2-hour podcast because we didn't even touch on half the subjects that I want to touch on. What I like to do is, man, when I close up with the show, is I always like to ask my guests. Sometimes they can answer it, sometimes they can't. But Jamal Pogues, what is your message?
My message to the world would be love yourself, push the limit. And, you know, one of the things my mom told me when I started this sport was if you want it bad enough, you'll figure a way out, you know. So if you guys love something, you know, be willing to go through the ups and the downs, you know, stay consistent, stay persistent. And, you know, eventually, you know, you just need that one door to open, you know. Mm. And I felt like, you know, 2 years ago, that door finally opened for me in the UFC, you know. So I'm glad I didn't shut that out completely in my life, you know. So just keep pushing, you know, push the limit at this point. I came from the lowest of lows, so I really can't really, you know, tell people. I feel like I can accomplish anything, you know, from the life I was given and the things I went through. So I just tell anybody, just keep pushing it. Push the limit. Keep going. Don't quit. And then it's fun when you get to see the benefits.
The fruits of your rewards.
Yeah, you know, when you get to see a lot of benefits of it. Like, you know, sort of things. You know, I appreciate things probably a little bit more than most people do, you know, I guess. Some people take advantage of it. But for me, I just appreciate it all. You know, the people I meet. Being in the rooms with certain people, and like I say, you know, I just meet so many people day in and day out, different ethnicities, you know, cultures, and I think that's what I love about the sport is just I get to meet so many people, I get to travel. I'm the first person in my family to travel out the country.
Wow.
So you know, I kind of feel like that's one of the coolest things, you know, where, you know, a lot of people never left my hometown. They never left the hood. A lot of people, like a lot of my family in L.A., never left L.A., you know. Closest they got was coming to Vegas for a weekend, you know. So, I'm over here talking about traveling to a different country. So, I just say, just keep pushing the limit, you know, and believe in yourself, you know. And whatever happens, just ride with it, you know, because one day just go in, you know, and just be proud of yourself. So, honestly, I'm just proud of myself every day. So, that's why I just get up every day, work my ass off. Don't even think about it. It's just normal to me, I guess, at this point. Yeah. So, just keep pushing. That's really what I tell people. Just keep pushing. If you don't believe in yourself and you don't have answers, just keep working through it. It's going to eventually happen, you know? So, that's pretty much it.
If you can get anything out of this podcast today, you can get something that keeps reoccurring over and over again. Don't quit. Don't just let it go. Just keep pushing and pushing. Keep going. Even if you think it's not going to happen. Even if you think, fuck, this opportunity is over. It's not. This guy's proven it. And so many other people that I've spoke to prove it. Don't give up. That's the secret. What's the secret? The secret is don't give up. And that's all it is. Jamal.
Thank you, sir.
You've been fucking awesome, bro.
Thank you, man.
Guys, thanks for listening. Thanks for watching. Make sure you YouTube me and subscribe to this channel. Leave a comment. It helps with the algorithm. I know that everyone says that on every channel, but it helps with us. You guys have been awesome. Today's episode was brought to you by Muse. I'm Marcus Deegan here at Sticky Paws, the big heavyweights, the stormtrooper himself, Jamal Pogues. We're out.